Hey guys, welcome to Tales from a Butterfly podcast. I'm your host, Taria Shondell. Sometimes caterpillar, sometimes butterfly, but always striving to make it through life's many metamorphoses with my faith intact. With this podcast, I hope to encourage anyone that is going through life situations, no matter what they are, that have left you feeling like you will forever be a caterpillar in the cocooning stage, having to continually shed your skin while fighting to get free from any chains that are holding you back from your transformation. I want to tell you, keep your faith in the transformer, believing that just like the butterfly, when you come out, you will be a thing of beauty who is not afraid to fly. So come on, my butterflies, let's fly. You're listening to episode 86 of the Tales from a Butterfly podcast, titled, Don't Let Snake Spirits Damage Your Fruit. And I'm your host, Taria Shondell. So let's get into it. Hey guys, thank you so much for coming back this week and tuning in to episode 86. Now, the inspiration for this podcast came from a picture. If you go on my Facebook or Instagram at TS, T as in Tom, S like Sam, Faison, F-A-I-S-O-N, or Facebook, Tales from a Butterfly. If you go on there, you'll see the picture. It is a picture of a hand holding an apple, which is a fruit, with a snake wrapped around the hand. And when I saw that picture, I immediately thought about snakes and how if they infiltrate, they can ruin your stuff. They can ruin your food. They could, you know, if they get in your house, Lord, they could ruin your living experience because I'm running out. I'm telling you right now, I'm running out. But just the different ways that snakes, if you allow them, can do damage to you. And as it is in the natural, so it is in the spiritual. You have some people that have snake-like spirits. And if you allow those snake-like spirits to slither their way in or infiltrate a piece of your life, before you know it, they could have done damage to the very fruit that you needed to protect. So that's where the inspiration for the podcast came from. Again, it's a picture of a hand holding an apple, which is a piece of fruit, and a snake wrapped around the hand holder's wrist. Again, you can check that picture out on Facebook, Tales from a Butterfly, or my Instagram, T as in Tom, S like Sam, F-A-I-S-O-N, T.S. Faison. Also, if you look in the description box of this podcast, I'll have a link to where you can just click on either or and go directly to the site. So I'm going to talk about two different type of snakes and snake spirits that people can inhibit or inhabit, right? Yeah, I think inhabit. Now, the first one is a python snake. Let's say that again. The first one, a python snake. Now, python snakes are non-venomous, but can strangle or squeeze the life out of you. A snake can coil itself around your neck, which is the most important part of its victim's bodies, and its muscles will just get tighter and tighter. And as time goes on, it will eventually kill you by attacking your trachea. You know, that's in your neck, in your throat. You'll start to get weaker and feeble until you run out of breath and then you die. Now, there's a firefighter / snake catcher in Bangkok. His name is Finyo Pukfinyo. I promise you that's how you say it, I think. Finyo, P-H-I-N-Y-O, Pukfinyo, last name, P-U-K-P-H-I-N-O, who's 49. And he said that if a snake is starting to wrap itself around your body, he actually did a video on this showing people how to escape a python squeeze, you know, how to get out of it. So he did a video on YouTube. You just type in, I believe, firefighter / snake catcher in Bangkok, shows you how to get out of snake hold. But he noted that putting your arm between the snake and your neck will prevent it from being able to squeeze your windpipe. But even with the arm, you'll be able to breathe only for a little while because the snake will squeeze you tighter and tighter until your body just becomes sore and then gives out on you. So always call for help. So if you're in that position and you get that arm in between the snake and your neck, if you're around people, call out for help. So that way people can help get the snake off you. Don't just assume that that you can do it by yourself when you have other people around you that can help. So always call out for help and still contact the emergency services if you see snakes around you in your area, not far from you, whether they're venomous or non-venomous. So let's talk about spiritual pythons. These type of people, to me, when I thought of spiritual pythons, I thought these are the types of people who want to latch on to you to get to the fruit that they know you are capable of producing. You know, these people who want to get close to you so that they can squeeze the spiritual life out of you so that you have nothing left to give, like mentally, spiritually, everything. They just want to get close to you and just squeeze and take everything from you. And then sometimes they don't even take anything from you. They just don't want you to have it. They don't want you to have life in that area. So they'll squeeze and squeeze and squeeze until you don't have the energy and your body grows weak and feeble and you end up not even being able to produce or bear fruit anymore at all. Now, in the book, The Spirit of the Python, written by Jensen Franklin, shout out to Pastor Jensen Franklin. My children love him. Pastor Franklin writes, "The python spirit can squeeze the joy out of your worship and prayers. It can pressure you to keep quiet when God wants you to speak up." I'm going to say that again. The python spirit can squeeze the joy out of your worship and your prayers. It can pressure you to keep quiet when God wants you to speak up. Now, remember, when a python wraps around you and tries to squeeze the life out of you, what does it do? It wraps around your neck, your windpipe, and you start losing breath. So this python spirit tries to squeeze and put pressure on your worship, on your prayer, so you won't speak up. Almost like you're too out of breath to speak up and ask God for what you really want and tell God, you know, what you need and use your mouth, you know, to just worship and praise. These people will try to squeeze the life out of your prayer and your praise. And to me, just like a real snake, a snake's body is kind of, you know, it's malleable. It can move, it can bend, it can squeeze through small surfaces. Surfaces that you didn't even know you had a hole. You ever been in your house and you're like, you may bend down, what is that thing? It could be a little tiny hole, a little tiny opening, or you may have a door that leads into a closet, but you notice the door doesn't seal on the floor. You know what I mean? There's a little tiny opening in between the floor and the door. So something could get itself through there if it made itself small enough. And I feel like people that have the python spirit, they do the same thing in your life. If you're not careful, if you don't keep watch, they'll find any little crack or opening in your area, holes and openings that you didn't even know you had. You could be dealing with an issue with your spouse or your significant other or your partner, and you may be feeling lonely, empty, angry, upset, what have you. And before you know it, your girlfriend slithered on in and got in your ear and telling you, man, you should leave him alone. Or you should leave him or do whatever. You deserve to be happy. Anything. You know, you could be dealing with something on your job that's painful. You didn't get the promotion. They overlooked you. They're not paying you enough. They treat you like they don't trust you. They don't give you the big projects when you know you can handle them. And then you find that one coworker that squeezes his way, knowing that's a vulnerable area, an open area, will squeeze their way right on into that area and start telling you negative things, so much to the point so that they can literally squeeze the life out of you. And before you know it, you're going to work angry, depressed, and you don't even want to be there. All because you allowed somebody to get into a little area that you might not even have known was open. So we have to be careful when dealing with these spiritual pythons because they have ways of getting into our lives that, again, we might not even know are open. And if we allow them too close to our fruit or too close to the seeds that we're supposed to produce from, they could end up damaging our soil. And then we're not able to even produce. These spiritual pythons, like I said, they'll slither their way into your life, hoping to squeeze the life out of you spiritually because they know they can look at you and see. They know you're producing. They want to stop it. And they're willing to use any kind of distraction to get your mind off of breathing life into the very thing that God put in your spirit. Even people in church, church people, people with titles, will try and use the saint-imposed, quote, and I put that in quotes, the saint-imposed tradition and beliefs to constrict your worship. So this very thing happened to Paul in Acts 16:16-18, King James Version, which reads, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour." So, in summation, the scripture, Paul's walking through town on his way to prayer. I believe it's Paul and Silas walking through town on their way to prayer. And they have a woman with a spirit of divination calling out, hey, these men are showing us the way to salvation. These servants of God are showing us the way to salvation. She's yelling this behind them as they're trying to get to prayer. And remember, she had a spirit of divination. Now, according to Merriam-Webster, the word divination means the art or practice that seeks to foresee or foretell future events or powers. In other words, soothsayers, psychics, and what have you. So again, divination means the art or practice that seeks to foresee or foretell future events by using supernatural powers like psychics or what have you. So go back to the scripture, and it says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. So her masters were psychics, and she's possessed by this spirit of divination. Now, interesting thing, the word divination comes from the Greek word for puthon, which translates in English as python. After doing more research, because I was like, I need to dig all the way into this and check, fact check and different things. So after doing even more research, I found out that the Greek mythology believed the Pythian serpent guarded the oracle of Delphi until Apollo killed it and then took on the name Pythian. The word was later applied to diviners, divination, or soothsayers inspired by Apollo. So here the word divination, which she was possessed by the spirit, because that's what the scripture says, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination. So the word divination comes from the Greek word for puthon, which translates in English as python. So here, this woman that was following behind Paul had the spirit of a python. Now, there Paul was, again, on his way to prayer with Silas, and a woman started yelling out what Paul was actually doing. She wasn't lying. She was actually telling the truth. She said, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto the way of salvation. And Paul and Silas were of the Most High God and were trying to show them salvation. She's not lying, but she was using the truth combined with having an audience and a loud voice to distract Paul from getting where he needed to go and doing what he needed to do. Now, I want you to sit back and think about this. How many times have you been moving forward in purpose, on purpose, to carry out the thing that God equipped you to do, the thing that God put in you to do, like starting a business or sticking with the business that you actually already established, writing a book, starting a ministry, and you get distracted by the spirit of a python hissing at you saying, girl, you know you don't have the capital for your business you want to start, or you don't have the discipline or business background or the connections or the capital to keep this business that you started afloat. You don't even have enough customers. Or the spirit of the python is whispering, man, people with bigger platforms than you have written a book on the same subject you want to write one on. So how's yours going to be any different? or they whisper and hiss, "Who do you think you are to start a ministry without a title, without a ministerial degree?" All of those things that this Python spirit is yelling to you or hissing or whispering to you, again, these things may be the truth, but they're using the truth to distract you. They're not saying, "We know this is the case. However, we have a God that can do X, Y, and Z." No, these people that have the spirit of a Python will use the truth of your situation to distract you or delay you or choke the life out of the very possibility that you previously held to get done what you needed to get done. These spiritual pythons will use the truth to stop you from moving forward. Think about it. You're in a situation, like I said, you want to start a business and the bank is telling you and everybody's telling you it's going to take $500,000 to start the business. But you were believing God, you were in prayer, believing that God will provide or provide, whether it be the finances, the favor, what have you. And then you hear someone hiss in your ear, "Girl, you know you don't have the $500,000 in capital and you don't even have the credit to get the business loan." Again, something that could be true, but it's being used to distract you and to stop you from going where you needed to go to do what you need to do. Now, when this happens, when you feel like the life is just getting squeezed, you know, out of the fruit that you're trying to produce, you need to call out to God to relieve that squeeze off of you. Like Paul, use your mouth and call that spirit and then call out that spirit in the name of Jesus and stand in the fullness of your God-given authority. And I assure you, the squeeze will begin to loosen. And before you know it, you'll be free. Now, the second snake-like spirit I want to talk about is the venomous snakes, and in particular, cobras. Snake venom is a special form of saliva that contains a range of zootoxins and is stored in something akin to our salivary gland. Once the venom is created and stored in these glands, it does not move back through the body where it could infect other tissues, just as it does in their prey. The toxic venom is stored in these specially protected glands until it's moved down through the narrow tubules in the fangs and delivered into the snake's prey. If the toxic venom enters your bloodstream, like through a bite, the toxins can't break down in your body properly and will do real damage to your organ systems, typically in the form of necrosis and hemorrhage. Now, necrosis is from a Greek word that, y'all, I cannot pronounce, but it starts with a V, and it means death, the stage of dying, the act of killing. Necrosis is a form of cell injury which results in the premature death of cells in living tissue by autolysis. Venomous snakes keep their venom stored in sacs behind the eyes on either side of the head. They're connected by the ducts to the fangs and to the front of the mouth in the upper jaw. They can kill you with a bite, compressing the sac and shooting the venom into their victim. Let's talk about cobras. According to the website animals.mom.me/cobras-strike, cobras come in different species with a distinct common trait. They're deadly. These creatures strike with a ferocity and can bring down opponents hundreds of times their size. Now, cobras don't have to hunt often. I want you to hear that. Cobras don't have to hunt often, but when they do, the combination of their size and their potent venom makes them a force to be reckoned with. A cobra lunges in with a quick bite, plunging his fangs into his prey, and just as quickly snapping back into its original place. From that point on, the venom does the work. His venom is potent, and his bite delivers an impressive amount, about 0.2 ounces. In fact, he injects so much venom in a single bite that one strike can take down an elephant. I mean, that's powerful. In one strike, if he makes contact, a cobra can take down an elephant. There's also spitting cobras. Spitting cobras, when irritated or threatened, may eject streams or a spray of venom a distance of 4 to 8 feet. These snakes' fangs have been modified for the purpose of spitting. Inside the fangs, the channel makes a 90-degree bend to the lower front of the fang. Spitters may spit repeatedly and still be able to deliver a fatal bite. Spitting is a defensive reaction only. The snakes tend to aim for the eyes of a perceived threat. A direct hit can cause temporary shock and blindness through severe inflammation of the cornea and conjunctiva. Although usually there are no serious results if the venom is washed away immediately with plenty of water, blindness can become permanent if left untreated. Brief contact with the skin is not immediately dangerous, but open wounds may be vectors for envenomation, which means an act or instance of poisoning by venom. It's clear to me, and probably to you listeners, that cobras strike hard and fast. And sometimes their prey might not even see it coming. They're just boom. They rise up with that big old wingspan and boom, they've struck. And before you know it, they got their fangs into you, delivered that venom, and boop, they're back to their regular size, all before you even knew it. So think about the cobra spirit and the spitting cobra spirits that you've encountered in your past. And quite frankly, if we're being honest, some of you may be encountering now. They may be at your workplace. They may be in your home with your friends. You don't know. Or actually, you probably do know, but you don't want to recognize them as these cobra spirits. But for some reason, whatever it is they see in you, they perceive you as a threat to them. Your gift and your anointing somehow threatens them and the validity of their purpose. But it's only in their mind because you're not thinking that. And a lot of times you're probably thinking, why am I a threat to them? They may have more than me financially, or they have a big house I'm renting. They have a big car. I don't have one. They have the husband and 2.5 kids with a white picket fence and a dog. I don't have any of that. How am I a threat to them? But see, when they can see the gifts that God's given you, when they can see the anointing on your life, when they can see the fruits that you have the potential to bear, you then become a threat to them in their mind. So they've made you their adversary and you don't even know it. You thinking you're cool, but yet in their mind, you're a threat to them. And then what do? You try to get close to them because you're not thinking that they think you're a threat. Or deep down, you recognize that cobra spirit, but you try to justify it away and you don't follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit that's telling you, back up. That person's not good for you. Because, you know, we all have that. The Holy Spirit leads us and guides us, and we can call it, you know, whatever you want to call it. My grandmom used to say, follow your first mind, meaning if you feel a certain way, you need to follow that. But a lot of times we'll ignore that. We'll ignore that warning. So you try to get close to them thinking that, oh, they have my best interest at heart. That's my friend. It's my cousin. It's my brother. That's my sister. That's my homeboy from around the way. That's my coworker. We've been working together for 15 years. That's a potential business partner. They have nothing but my best interest at heart for me. They're rooting for me. But they're actually planning just the right time to lunge and strike. Remember, they don't often have to hunt, but when they do, they make sure that it counts. So they just wait for the right time. Then they lunge and strike, and they inject you with a negativity venom, with a doubt venom, with the insecurity venom about your gift, hoping that it will paralyze and eventually kill the gifts in you, hoping that the gifts will die prematurely in you, hoping that the fruit will die prematurely in you, hoping that this negativity venom will kill the confidence in you, hoping that this negativity venom will kill the seed that has been planted by God in you for you to produce fruits for the kingdom. They're biding their time, hoping that when they strike with this venom, it'll kill all of that in you. And then think about the case of the spitting cobras, because different type of cobra. In the case of the spitting cobra, they don't even have to be as close to you as a regular cobra. So it could be somebody not even in your inner circle, but you know them. We kind of hang out with the same folks, but they're not in my inner circle. But they're close enough to you. You've put your guard down and allowed them to get just close enough to you. But even though they don't have to strike you with their fangs, what comes out of their mouth can temporarily blind your vision, the vision that you know God has shown you for your life. And if you continually allow them around you and allow what comes out of their mouth to affect you, they'll continue to use that mouth to blind your vision permanently. Now, what's interesting, or kind of interesting, about venomous snakes is that, think about it, it's a venomous snake, which means they carry the venom inside them. They carry this toxic, poisonous venom that will kill you inside them, but it doesn't kill them. And they have it inside of them. I mean, think about that. They are able to deliver a fatal blow to you through bite, through spitting, that will take you down, that will kill you, take your life. They can kill an elephant with one blow of venom, with one bite, but yet they carry that in their body, and it doesn't affect them. It's not toxic to them. And the reason they can't kill themselves with it is because the snake is capable of breaking down the venom in their digestive tract, and they've adapted glands to prevent any undue exposure to their own venom. Snakes appear to be expert managers of their internal toxin levels, crafty about who they pick fights with, and reliant on the protein breakdown powers of their stomachs, all of which keep them protected from their own venom and the venom of most other snakes. So here, they've learned how to cope with the toxicness that they carry so that it doesn't eat them alive. They've learned how to cope with this poison that they carry in themselves. We need to consider this when dealing with people who have cobra spirits. They're used to carrying angry venom, having been abandoned venom, had a rough childhood venom, jealousy venom, envy venom, that they've actually become immune to their own venom. They don't even realize it. They've become so adept at being angry, to being hurt, to being a victim, and in some cases, playing the victim, that their adaptation of their own venom and the venom of other snakes that have bitten them, it's made them numb to the fact that they're no longer victims, but they've actually become a victimizer. And remember, the venom is carried behind the eyes of the snake. The eyes, okay? The venom is carried behind the eyes. This poisonous, toxic stuff that could kill someone, again, an elephant, human, other animals, it's carried behind the cobra's eyes, what they see out of. So we have to consider, maybe their visions have become blinded. Maybe these people with these cobra spirits, maybe they feel like they will never carry out what they saw themselves doing years ago. Maybe they feel like God has left them and their vision, and their bitterness at life has now taken up residence in their eyes. So they see everything through a haze of bitterness, and in turn, they inflict it on others, the people with the cobra spirit. Another interesting fact about venomous snake bites: you can treat a venomous snake bite with an anti-venom. And in order to make the anti-venom, there's a process. Now, here's how they make the anti-venom. They take horses and inject the horses with the snake venom to produce antibodies. Then they extract that blood that's been injected with the venom from the horses, and they inject it into the victim of the snake bite. So they inject it to a human or another animal that's been bitten by the snake. So when I heard that, I'm like, how crazy is it that, okay, the venom that I was bit by that could kill me, that same venom has been injected to something else, mixed with their blood, and now I have to have that injected into me in order for me not to die, in order for me to be able to live. Like, that's weird, right, when you think about it? And the more I thought about it, I said, to me, that sounds like something that took place for us years ago in Golgotha, the place that is called Skull, or as some of us call it, Calvary. That's the place where Jesus died for all of us, a place where that man named Jesus, who knew no sin, took on all the sins of the world so that we could be saved. Jesus shed his innocent blood to forgive and redeem us sinners. So here, his innocent blood was tainted by our sins. He had to carry the weight of our sins in order for us to be able to live again. And then when you think about him hanging on that cross, picture this in your mind. How many cobra spirits were out there taunting him, spitting on him, spitting cobras, spitting on him while he hung on the cross. He even shed his blood so that everyone who accepted him as their savior had a chance to live. Even the ones who were doing all of that to him. So here he's still giving these people that are spitting on him and chanting at him and trying to hurt him. He's doing all this so that they could live and have eternal life as well. That was really interesting to me. That really struck me. Again, reading that a poor horse who has pure blood and has nothing to do with the situation now gets injected by a venom only to turn around and have to get their blood drawn to save someone else. And that was like Jesus. He knew no sin, but so that way we could live and not die and have eternal life. He had to take on all the sins, every low down dirty thing. He took them all on and washed our sins with his blood so that we could live. When you think about it in those terms, it really makes you grateful to know that you're covered by the blood. You're covered by God's blood. You're covered by the blood. And as long as we accept him, we'll continue to be covered by the blood. So again, throughout this podcast, I talked about snakes, python snakes and venomous cobra snakes, spitting cobras included. And I talked about people having snake-like spirits that could potentially damage or destroy your fruit. But I also have to let you know something else. In the natural, according to askdoctoruniverse.wsu.edu, snakes shed their skin to allow for further growth and to remove parasites that may have attached to their old skin. As a snake grows, its skin becomes stretched. To leave their old skin behind, snakes may go for a swim to allow water to loosen the old skin even further. When they're ready to shed the old layer, they create a rip in the old skin, usually in the mouth or nose area. They often do this by rubbing against a rough, hard object, such as a rock or a log. And in order for the snake to keep growing, it will continually shed its skin until its death. So, in the case of either knowing people with these snake-like spirits, or if we're going to be honest, you yourself, us having these snake-like spirits, it doesn't have to be this way. We don't have to continue to carry these snake-like spirits. No matter how long the snake-like spirit has been there, it doesn't have to stay there. All we have to do is be willing to truly grow, and not by saying we've grown, not by telling people we've grown, but by leaving that old us behind and walking into the new us, the us who God intended for us to be. This God, our God, who left us with the gift of the Holy Spirit, who in turn produces the fruits of the Spirit in us: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, if we allow it. So just like in the natural, a snake sheds its own skin and makes sure that it gets rid of any parasites that have gotten into it, stays with that old skin. We too, as we're shedding our old skin, have to make sure we leave parasites, spiritual parasites behind, and not bring them with us when we're walking into the new us. The Bible says you got to watch and you got to pray. We need to be watching and staying in prayer about who is coming along with us, who is latching onto us, and who is depositing stuff in us that shouldn't be in us, who is bringing us, again, negative venom, angry venom. You got to be careful who's slithering their way into cracks in your life that, or open spaces that you don't even know you have. So again, we've got to allow the Holy Spirit, the one that God left us with, to produce the fruits of the Spirit in us, which again, because I want to name them again, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We've just got to allow it, y'all. I want to leave you with this scripture, Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24, NIV reads, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. All we have to do is bathe ourselves in the Holy Spirit. And just like in the natural with the snake, the old us, our old skin loosens and falls away from us, and we become new creatures. And as long as we're willing to continue to let God have his way with us and to allow the Holy Spirit to reside in us, we will continue to evolve and grow. And the seeds that have been planted in us will produce a harvest that is greater than we ever imagined. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out with me today and downloading and listening to Tales from a Butterfly, episode 85. Go to either iTunes, Blueberry, Stitcher, Google Play Music, Spotify, or any other place podcasts can be found and type in Tales from a Butterfly and subscribe to the podcast. And if you have iTunes and you're already subscribed, if you could still go back to your podcast app on your iPhone or iPad, however you listen, go to the search button, type in Tales from a Butterfly, wait for the picture to come up, click on it, scroll down a little, you'll see that you can hit the fifth star. Scroll down a little bit more and you will see the area for comments. I would greatly appreciate it. I promise it takes less than 2 minutes. FYI, if you don't have iTunes, you can listen in on Blueberry, BlueBrry.com. Now, when you go to Blueberry.com, go to the search bar, type in Tales from a Butterfly. When the directory pops up, inside, you click on any episode of Tales from a Butterfly, and within the episode, it will give you multiple options to subscribe. You can actually subscribe via email, so that way every new episode that comes out will come straight to you. Now, the more ratings I get, the more subscriptions I get, the more visible the podcast, which in turn can bring in sponsors. Also, head on over to TariaShondell.com. That's T as in Tom, TariaShondell.com, to follow my blog by the same name, Tales from a Butterfly. And head on over to my vlog. Go to YouTube and type in Tales from a Butterfly and watch and subscribe and share the vlog and the podcast episodes with your friends, families, coworkers, even the cashier, you know, at the Y's or the Mars or the hair store that you go to, whatever your favorite hair store, share it, please. And please share it on your social media platforms. I get so many different memes and pictures shared with me, or I see friends sharing other memes and pictures. Surely you guys can share a podcast link. And speaking of social media, you can follow me on Twitter at TS Faison, Instagram TS Faison, and on Facebook at Tales from a Butterfly. And go to YouTube, again, type in Tales from a Butterfly, check out the vlog and subscribe. And butterflies, no matter what tries to get under your skin this week, no matter what attacks you or your ministries, and no matter what tries to spoil your fruit, remember that God is your antibody that cures all. And because of him, there is no venom spirit strong enough to take you out. Fly on, butterflies. I love you guys, and thanks for listening.